praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The Life Study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. Upon a casual reading, 2 Samuel chapter 7 seems simple enough to understand. It begins with King David expressing his heart's desire to build a dwelling place for Jehovah. And the Lord's response to David seems to be a very good illustration of his love and mercy toward David, telling him that instead of wanting David to build something for him, the Lord needed to build something first for David. But if we look more carefully and through the lens of God's economy, we will see that 2 Samuel chapter 7 reveals one of the highest revelations in the entire Bible. Bill Lawson has joined us as we have our second program on this chapter. Bill probably will end up, I think, having at least 4 programs. There was a lot here in this life study that Witness Lee gave fairly near the end of his life, about 3 years before the end of his life. He had a lot of burden when he reached this portion, didn't he?
Right. He spoke a lot about this. And like you say, we need a number of sessions here to cover thoroughly everything here because this matter is so deep, so profound, yet it's been buried there in 2 Samuel over the ages. So it's good for us to get into it.
David had a kind of a heart that matched the Lord's. The Lord even said that he had found one according to his own heart. And David now secure in his kingship and secure in Israel and even gaining the favor of the people and of the surrounding nations, he has a desire to do something for the Lord. And I think probably your experience confirms this as well. Oftentimes this is the case. After we have an appreciation, we gain an appreciation of our salvation, what we have gained in Christ, what the Lord has done for us. We immediately want to respond by doing something for the Lord.
Right. It's just natural that we want to do something for the Lord. We think that he done a lot for us and with us. And there comes a time when we would like to reciprocate, right? We would like to do something for him. And I think that also was in David's heart. David realized that God had done a tremendous amount for him, you know, bringing him the Davidic kingdom. He's defeating all of his enemies. Everything seems to be at peace. And now he looks back at the situation and see, my, I have everything here, but the very one who's everything to me, it just dwells in an ark with curtains, and I dwell in this fabulous house of cedar. So This is part of the background here.
To understand the intrinsic, it was a word that Witness Lee liked to use, and I think that's appropriate for where we're at today. We're going to touch the intrinsic matter here, not just the outward story. David wanting to do something for the Lord and the Lord telling him back, no, I want to do something further for you. But intrinsically, the problem was, though David had the desire to do something for, even to build something for the Lord, what he didn't realize is he didn't have anything to build with, did he?
Right. Just like us many times, we want to do something for the Lord, and then we just use our natural man thinking that we can do something. And then the Lord has to come in and remind us and make it very clear to us, you can't do anything for me, but I need to do something with you and even in you.
So David expresses a desire to build a house for Jehovah. Jehovah responds back, no, I will build a house for you. And then he tells him in verses 12 through 14, and when your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. Bill, this is a very prophetic word. Of course, we can see that there was a fairly rapid fulfillment of this prophecy in the bringing forth of Solomon, David's son, who did build the temple in Jerusalem. But there's another sense in which this prophecy needs to be viewed, and we'll touch that today somewhat, won't we?
Right, that's right.
All right, let's join Witness Lee, and then you and I will have a chance to fellowship some more.
When we come to 2 Samuel chapter 7, we touch a high mountain.
Amen.
Chapter 7 carries the biggest prophecy not only in the Bible, but in the whole universe. A prophecy yet in a type. Typology has been a hard thing for the Bible student to understand. Now, in this hard typology, there is a prophecy. I realized we all, like David, have a wrong concept that God needs us to do some building for him. That's wrong. Quite often, when I speak, God checks with me. Are you going to speak? With what you speak? That means, are you going to build my house? I say, yes. God said, with what material you built? I said, well, to build the church, the unique element is just Christ. Then within checks me, how much Christ do you have? Then I got exposed. I said, I don't have much Christ. I have knowledge of the Bible. And I have a printed Bible in my hand. Sure, I can go there to teach them the Bible. But that is not to build the church. To build the church is with Christ as the element. So I give message, trying my best, not with my knowledge, trying my best to build up all the saints with Christ. But while I was speaking, I found out I don't have much of Christ. I only have more knowledge of Christ. I'm short of Christ. So after the speaking, I regretted, I repented, I confessed, Lord, forgive me. I am still short of you. I need you to be wrought in my being. I need you to be constituted into my being. I need more Christ, the real Christ, the Christ as the Spirit, the Christ in resurrection, not the Christ, just a name, just a title. I say with myself, how much Christ have you really ministered to your audience? Doctrine, high truths, or the top theology, or the real Christ, the genuine Christ, the Christ in the reality of the resurrected Spirit.
Bill, he begins this section by saying that this matter in 2 Samuel 7 is the biggest or highest prophecy in the whole universe, he said. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on and starts talking about his own experience with the Lord in what he was building with, what he was ministering in his ministry. What do these two things have to do with each other, Bill?
This is obviously a very profound portion of the Scripture. The Lord in Matthew chapter 16 said, I will build my church. Of course, those are clear and plain words. But that word there in Matthew 16 has the background of 2 Samuel chapter 7 here, where the Lord said that he would make a house for David, or he would build David a house. And we have to understand in typology, David here, Chris, is a type of Christ. And the house here in the Old Testament is a type of the church, the body of Christ. Because Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that the church is the house of the living God. And also Paul in Hebrews chapter 3 talks about Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. So from these two portions of the New Testament, we realize that they are fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7 in that the Lord is speaking to David there and saying that sometime in the future that he would be incarnated as a man, and he, as the embodiment of God, he would eventually accomplish redemption. He would become the life-giving Spirit in his resurrection. As the life-giving Spirit, he would enter into us, the believers, and he would begin to build himself with his element and essence and source into us so that we would become his house and he would become our house.
This is really touching the high point of this matter, that David was, in a sense, a type of Christ. In another sense, also typifies us to some degree, our building work. Of course, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, take heed how you build or with what you build, and then talks about the materials that will abide even in the day of testing and trial. The revelation here seems to be that David was an example the Lord was using to show us all our shortage, all of us, our own lack. And that is until he accomplishes this building work within us, building his very self into us, we don't have anything to contribute to the house of God.
Right. This is also quite sobering because we think if we can teach the Bible a little bit, if we can instruct in the Bible, if we know some theological knowledge, we can instruct in the Bible, we can give some counseling, and we can give some messages, that we are doing something to build something of God's house. But we don't realize here the only thing we can build with that builds the house of God is Christ himself. So Christ himself has to enter into us, first of all, and then we have to enjoy Christ. We have to experience him. And with what the very Christ is in building himself into us, then with that material, we are able to minister the very Christ into others. And that is the material that God needs for the building of his house today.
Paul gives us so many windows into the reality or the fulfillment of this prophecy that's taking place here in typology. In the New Testament, we see so many expressions that came from Paul that underscore, that confirm what we're speaking about, what Witness Lee is opening up here in this chapter, 2 Samuel. He will refer to one of these verses, a key verse really in the New Testament economy, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, in this coming section, where Paul says simply this, "For to me to live is Christ." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You as David want to build God's house. David, you need God to build Christ into you. 2 Samuel chapter 7, he said, unveiling in prophecy through the typology to show us, my, there's no need for me to build something for God, and I cannot do it. I build something for God with what? With myself? With my Bible knowledge? With my theology? We all need God to build up Christ into our very intrinsic constitution. I would shout, I would declare, what is needed is that Christ be built into the being that reconstitute your entire being, that not only changes your being, that transforms your being from one person to another person. What is God's economy? God's economy is to all the time work himself into us in Christ as his embodiment. And this Christ today, through death and resurrection, has become a life-giving spirit. Amen. Surreal.
Amen.
You have to let God work such a Christ as such a spirit into your being.
Amen.
Not just into your mind, into your mentality.
Right.
No, but into your being. Then you could say, for me to live is to live Christ.
Amen.
Then you can declare, I, the old I, have been crucified. Now, it is no more I that lives, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Could you declare this?
Bill, this has to come as a shocking revelation. My desire, my good intention, my longing to do something for God and to be willing to do it with the very best that I have is of virtually little or no value in what God is really interested in building on this earth. This has to be shocking to us in a sense, doesn't it?
Right. This is not easy for we Christians to understand because we think the Lord has redeemed us. He has regenerated us now after this. Now, whatever we do, whatever we think, however we build our ways, our our abilities, capabilities. We can do anything for the Lord. And then sometimes, like you say, we have to be shocked to realize, especially if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul talks about every believer is building something. He says we can either build with wood, grass, stubble, or we can build with the triune God himself, the gold, the Father's nature, the silver, the redemptive work of the Son, and the precious stones, the transforming work of the Spirit. That is the very triune God. So every believer is building something. We're either building with wood, grass, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And I think that's really the case here with 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord is really trying to open David's eyes to show David we really cannot build anything for the Lord. The only thing that is worthwhile is Christ himself. So the Lord has to work on us and work in us and work himself into us. And then whatever he works into us, only that material is good for the building up of the church, God's house.
I think this is underscored already by this time. You mentioned, I think I may have mentioned earlier on, David had now had a palace built for himself from the cedars of Lebanon. The king of Tyre, which was ancient Lebanon, had sent him this gift, a kind of an offering showing how much he agreed with God's selection of him to be king over Israel. And the material was provided, and this marvelous palace is built for David. So in a sense, David doesn't need a house built. And yet here is Jehovah telling him, I need to build you a house before my house could be built. He's really telling him this isn't maybe a house of cedar and stone.
Right.
This is this intrinsic, eternal building that is really typifying the coming seed of David, which is Christ himself.
Right. And with that material, Christ himself, then the Lord can reconstitute us. He can change us, not outwardly to have a mere outward religious change, but he wants to build the very element, the very essence, and the very source into us, and that will remain forever.
Witness Lee will begin this last segment today by asking us a Bible question. I'm going to go ahead and give the answer in advance for the sake of those listening. I'll let him ask the question. The answer, however, will be Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul prays that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. All right, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
In the New Testament, what book, what chapter, what verse indicates that Christ is being built into our being? Ephesians 3:17 says, Christ now is making his home in our heart. Christ is building. Don't you have such a verse? Making home, what's that? That's building. Making whose home? Making his home. In whose heart? In your heart, in my heart, in our heart. I do have the feeling probably most of my heart still vacant. Most of my heart still not occupied, filled up, saturated, soaked with Christ. How about your heart? In our hearts, every day, morning to evening, evening to morning, all junk. Why my wife turned the lungfish to me last night? Why my husband come back home so late? Why elder so-and-so? Why the old sister so-and-so? Why this, why that? All why is it not why is it in the heart? What will fill up your heart? Just junk. Is Christ there? Christ is imprisoned in your little spirit. Hallelujah, Christ lives in me. Hallelujah, Christ lives in my spirit. That's right, in your spirit. Are you just a spirit? How about your heart? How about your mind? How about your emotion? How about your will? How about your entire being? Yes, Christ today is in your spirit. But how much Christ is in you?
Amen.
Not only in you, but build it. How much Christ is built in you.
Amen.
Not just in your spirit, but in your heart. Making your heart his home.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:17 does indicate strongly that the triune God today is building himself in Christ, making you as his home. Why is he trying God? Because Ephesians 3 is a record of Paul's prayer. Paul said, I bow my knees to the Father that he would strengthen you through the Spirit, that Christ may make his home in your heart. Could you see the Trinity? The Father is asked, and the strengthening is carried out by the Spirit. The result, the issue is that Christ then can make his home in your heart, making you his dwelling. And this is Christ builded into your being.
Bill, the common understanding is that at the moment we receive salvation, we invite the Lord to come into our heart, and there he is. But this word in Ephesians chapter 3 is very specific, isn't it? It's not just a presence, a sort of vague presence in our heart. He is building something in our heart. Pick up this matter.
Right, Chris. Here, the heart is composed of the three parts of the soul, Chris, and the one part of the spirit. It is the mind, the emotions, the will, the three parts of the soul, and one part of the spirit, which is the conscience. So when Paul here mentions that Christ may make his home in your heart, that is a composition of our soul and our spirit. But as you mentioned, with most believers, including myself, I was always instructed that when I would receive the Lord, he would come into my heart. But no one ever told me where that was or what does that mean until later I began to realize that man is a three-part being. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. So when the Lord comes into us as the spirit, he goes right into the center of our being, into our spirit. But he can remain there, and we may not allow him to spread into the innermost parts of our being, our mind, emotion, and will. So Paul here was quite burdened. He even bowed his knees, and he went right to the Father, and he prayed that the Father would grant us, the believers, that we would be strengthened by his Spirit with power into our inner man. Our inner man is, again, the spirit, the inmost part of our being, so that eventually Christ, the second of the Trinity, would make his home. Most translations use the word dwell, but it's more specific to say make his home. And in the Greek, that word kata means deep down. That means the Lord wants to go very, very deep into our innermost being to build himself into us. That is really to build Christ into the very center of our being.
And I think all of us as believers, Bill, if we're honest, we realize the Lord is in us. But if we have to answer the question, under the light or in the light, is he really at home in all of the deep inner chambers of your heart? Is the Lord comfortable there? Is he at home there? I think we all have to give somewhat the same guarded answer, don't we?
Right. So, of course, eventually, if the Lord builds himself, he takes it over. He saturates us. He constitutes us. He even reconstitutes us. And he brings his element, his life, his nature, his essence, all of his riches into every part of our being. Then when we minister Christ, then when we come to doing some kind of work, then our speaking, our ministry, our service to the Lord is not just mere teaching or knowledge,
right,
or doctrine or
right,
theology. It's the real thing. The very Christ that has been wrought into us is the very Christ that we minister to others. And that and only that can build the church, the body of Christ.
Well, Bill, unfortunately, our time is up. In fact, only time to give our toll-free number and invite our listeners to contact us about the printed Life Study message. That toll-free number, if you would like to call us, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. For Bill Lawson, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Whether you're hearing this program via radio, online, or as a podcast, you'll find hundreds of audio studies just like this one by visiting our website, lsmradio.com. We also hope you'll email us with your questions or comments, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.